Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. So, have you heard the one about the giraffe? Don't worry, it's way over your head. Yeah, I know, I'm not much of a comedian. I also, turns out, was not too great a dancer. I could get a little carried away. I mean, I used to do the hokey pokey, but don't worry, I turned myself around. If you have ever attempted or attended, and I've done the latter, not the former, if you've ever even attended an amateur stand-up comedian performance, you will understand and know that humor is actually a really tricky thing. It's not easy. It's certainly not as easy as it looks when we see people successfully getting laughs from the audience. It's not an easy thing. Humor is a kind of fragile and delicate thing. But it also seems that it is, in some ways, an essential thing. It is an essential part of our human experience, of who we are and what we need in the world. Probably many of you are familiar with the clown, doctor, social activist, Patch Adams, who is the founder of the Gesundheit Institute. On the website for that institute, he writes that Patch believes that laughter, joy, and creativity are an integral part of the healing process. And so he used methods that are unconventional to integrate humor into healing and into his medical practice. And the movie, Patch Adams, based on his life, which I won't show you now, but I do highly recommend, almost fails to do justice to the wildness of this man's character. I mean, he is so kind of out there that even Robin Williams can't quite do him justice. He's got this wild mustache. You've really got to see the real Patch Adams. He's not alone in thinking that laughter is the best medicine, in thinking that laughter is part of the healing process. In fact, studies have shown that laughter really is good for the human body. Laughter, for example, relaxes the body. It relieves tension, leaving the muscles relaxed and feeling good for up to 45 minutes afterward. Laughter boosts the immune system. It decreases stress and increases antibodies and immune cells that help keep our bodies strong and healthy. Laughter relieves pain by releasing endorphins, which create that overall feeling of well-being and happiness, as well as provide a temporary relief of pain. Laughter is heart healthy. It improves blood flow and can help our hearts be stronger. Laughter burns calories, not enough to do any significant damage to one's waistline, but 10 to 15 minutes of solid laughter a day can burn 40 calories. So there you go. Laughter lightens anger and conflict and resentment, all of which have been shown to have a negative impact on our bodies. Laughter may even increase our lifespans. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlived those who did not laugh as much. This was particularly notable in those who are battling forms of cancer. Laughter improves our mood, our mental function, our self-esteem. It strengthens relationships and reduces not only that physical tension in our bodies, but tensions between individuals and in groups, and it promotes group bonding. And studies have shown that unlike many other things, which are not as good if you attempt a fake version of them, simulated laughter has many of these same positive effects. And of course can often trigger real laughter and laughter in others. And so some exercise groups, if you can imagine this, recommend that people doing exercise together laugh, even fake laugh, while they are working out to increase the benefits of the exercise regimen, if you can imagine such a thing. I kind of can. I can imagine laughing while I'm working out, laughing at myself mostly, but I can imagine that. Now, I want to here pause and say that laughter is not always a good thing, and we need to be honest about that. It's kind of like anything, too much or too in the wrong spirit can be hurtful, right? Laughter is not always kicks and giggles. It can sometimes be derisive or hurtful. And so, for example, to return to this kind of mental image that now you're not going to be able to get out of your head of laughing while exercising, I can imagine myself laughing at myself doing yoga. I'm actually not that bad at yoga, but for somebody who started ballet lessons at the age of 4 and danced all the way through high school and some in college, I am remarkably uncoordinated. I can trip over both of my feet at the same time. And see, I'm inviting you to laugh about that, and that's okay, because I'm inviting you to do that. And so if I were to laugh at myself, or we were to have some good laughs while I was attempting yoga, that would probably be okay if it's about that, and I've invited you to laugh about that, right? But I can imagine a different setting in which I was attempting something like that, and I heard people laughing, and I might think they were laughing at me. Or I might think, because I've invited people to laugh about one thing, they might be laughing about something else. If you're laughing about me trying to do yoga because I'm overweight, that's not okay. I haven't given you permission to do that, really. Not comfortable with that. And it can become hurtful. It can also give the impression that it would be okay to laugh at other people. So sometimes, you know, as we grow and we find our bodies do strange things as they get older, I've already noticed some of that, and we laugh with each other about that. But it's not okay to laugh at somebody for being old. That's not all right. Or we tell a lot of jokes, and we make a lot of jokes about our own slips in truly understanding things. I can be quite thick sometimes, just dense upstairs, and really miss something. But it's not okay to laugh at somebody else's intelligence or lack thereof. So it's a fine line, right? And then that doesn't even get into the whole realm of satire as social commentary, which I'm just going to leave alone because I don't want to tell people that they shouldn't watch Saturday Night Live unless it interferes with your ability to stay awake during the sermon on Sunday. Then don't watch it. There are far better uses of your time. No, laughter is this tricky thing, and there are many ways that we laugh. And there are many ways that we rejoice and that we can be hurtful. And so we use it as a tool in some of the ways we've talked about it, to diffuse tension, to bring people together, to break the ice. These are ways that we use laughter. We use laughter to cope when things are really hard. We use laughter as a kind of resistance and resilience. You know, we talk about so-called gallows humor, that laughing in the face of something difficult or painful. Sometimes because you'd cry your eyes out otherwise, as the Indigo Girls say. We have to make light of a situation so that we can feel a little bit more at ease, so we can get through. And so that kind of laughter can be healing. We use it carefully. We also notice that we are better at laughter at some points in our lives than others, and so we see that children laugh more easily and more freely. And I wonder if that's not at least a little piece of why Jesus says we need to become more like little children, that delight that bubbles up more freely from them. Of course, the most famous laugher in the Bible is Sarah, and she's no child, at least not at the time of this storytelling. And in fact, she doesn't have much to laugh about. She is old, advanced in years. It has ceased to be with her as to the ways of women. Little hint, hint, wink, wink there. And she is without a child. And this is something that is hurtful on many levels because, you see, it means that her body has failed her at the one thing that gives a woman value in her time and place. She has not borne a child, let alone a son, to carry on her husband's line. And it's not for lack of trying and praying and hoping and wishing. And I bet it's not for lack of laughing, at least not the lack of others laughing at her or pitying her or offering her scorn and derision because she has been unable to do this. So this is a deep pain, I think, that she's carrying with her. And then here shows up this stranger, this man, thank you very much, to pour some salt on that wound, to mansplain away her pain and tell her that it's all good because God's gonna make sure that she bears a son. And she laughs. You bet your bottom dollar she laughs. Ha! Yeah, right. And I don't know what kind of laugh that is. Is it derision for this stranger who clearly knows nothing about her and her body, but thanks for, you know, sharing your thoughts about that? I don't think it's quite that mean-spirited. Is it the way I laughed when I saw something that Amy posted on Facebook the other day? A video of someone skiing along the top edge of a cliff. And some people replied to this post, "Oh, that looks like fun." And my response was, "Oh, not on your life." No. That kind of, "Yeah, right, that's not even possible. You are out of your mind" kind of laughter. Is it the laughter of resistance and resilience? Because here is this person who does not know her, or at least so she thinks. Here is this person bringing back this painful thing about her life that at 98 years old, thank you, she has all but accepted. And now you're going to bring this up? Where were you when she was 20 and able to chase a child around? Where were you when that sounded possible? And now you bring this up, and that hurts and that stings, so she's got to laugh about it because she'd be weeping otherwise. Is it that kind of laughter? We don't know, but she laughs. She knows right away it wasn't the right thing to do, but she can't take it back. It kind of seeps its way out. She laughs. A kind of resistance, a kind of coping. But then, the story keeps going. I kind of jumped to the end of the story here. There's a little bit of interlude in between, unrelated to that, to hear about the laughter again. Because, of course, it turns out that she does indeed conceive and bear a son. And Abraham, we're told, Abraham, who's party to this laughter but doesn't seem to ever actually take part in it, Abraham names this child Laughter. Names him for that audacity, that hope, that resistance, and that joy. And Sarah says, "Now everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now God has brought me laughter, a different sort of laughter, a laughter of joy and delight, a laughter of knowing that this is hope. This is what can happen. With God, yes, all things are possible. And that brings me joy and delight, and now others will laugh not at me, but with me." What a transformation that brings. This is the laughter we aim for. And of course, as we talk about our spiritual practices this week and in this season, we are up to laughter. And you are encouraged to laugh at some point this week. I hope that you will find a way to laugh at least once a day between now and when next I see you. Maybe you'll have burned, 40 calories a day, which is great. You can even fake laugh. That's the best part. You can fake it till you make it and just pretend that something's funny. But I bet you that if you spend some time with a funny friend, or making faces at yourself in the mirror, or thinking about the silly things you've said and done in your life, that you will be able to genuinely laugh. And make sure you do it at least once a day. But I encourage you to do something fun, do something that gives you joy and that brings you laughter. This is the laughter we're aiming at, the laughter we want to find, not laughter that's derisive, not laughter that hurts other people. We have a rule in my house, it's actually really hard, that if a joke is told at another person's expense, it's not funny. And you'd be surprised how hard it is to keep that rule with kids, especially who are taught by the culture around us that it's okay to make fun of other people. No, we want a laughter that is genuine, but that is kind-hearted, and that is of joy. A laughter in the face of sorrow, not to make sorrow seem to disappear or hide it, but because we know that God is already wiping every tear from our eyes. A laughter in the face of death itself, not as gallows humor, not as a coping mechanism, but because we have already glimpsed the victory. We know that life and love and joy always have the final word, always have the last laugh. Amen.